Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Maseches Erchin Daf Yud Zayin. We begin right on top. Tanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadolimer, he would teach us like this. Il Mole, if it were. So if Hashem, in fact, would have engaged our great forefathers in judgment to evaluate whether, in fact, they're deserving, Il Mole Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Im Avraham, with the greatest of the great, Avraham, Yitzchak Ve'Yaakov Bedin, in judgment, even they would not have been successful. They would not withstand Hashem's teichecha. Rashi says, he would have pointed out their faults on their high level. So even they would not have succeeded. Rather, everything Hashem does and gives and provides is all an expression of true compassion and kindness. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Va'ato esyatzv. All Hashem's righteousness, asher osa eschem, even your forefathers, even what Hashem provided for them, was an expression of tzedakah, and not because of their deserving. This is another pasuk. Zedur dershav. So the pasuk links the dar, the people of the generation, to the leaders, dershav. Zedur dershav. So there's that linkage. One affects the other. Question. In which direction? Is it the leader affecting generation, or is it the opposite? So we have machlekes on this matter. There's machlekes on this between Rabbi Yehuda and Nesiyah, and Rabban Chad Amar 1 says, Dor lifi parnos. The level of the generation is in accordance with the leader. What this means, we'll see in a minute. V'chad amar, the other one goes the opposite. Parnos lefini devrei. The leader is according to his generation. My hechas are pertaining to what? What are we talking about? Ilim elmal yusuf. Are we speaking about levels of righteousness? The marasar, so one opinion holds, imali dora. The generation is righteous, mali parnas. Likewise, the leader is. So the leader is reflective of the standards of his generation. Umar Sava, the other one holds just the opposite. Imali parnas, mali dora. It's the leader that runs the show. Great leader, generation follows as well. So basically, we're tying, we're connecting, we're matching the spiritual standards of one to the other. So if the leader is great, Dor is great, and according to the other sheet, it's the opposite. I'll give you an example. I'll give you several examples where it wasn't so. The leader and his generation were on totally different planes in matters of spiritual standing. Ha'ikat Tzidkia, we have Tzidkia HaMelech, who was a tzaddik in his own right, but not his generation. The Havamali, he was a tzaddik, but unfortunately, Vidari, his generation, the Havamali, were not on that same level. And you have exactly the opposite, Vayayakim, who was the opposite phenomena. He was not on a level, the Lehava Mali wasn't a tzaddik, but the Lehava Mali, but his generation were. The Amar Rabbi Yechon, in fact, we have a statement from Rabbi Yechon, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yechai. Look at this pasuk, Maidachsev. Why do we find the word Bereishis mentioned once by a reference to the Yoyakim's reign, and once regarding Tzidkiah? What's the message? And we have also Bereishis Mamlechas Tzidkiah Melech Yehuda. The message is like this. Hashem wanted to bring the world back, to revert it back to a state of destruction. Back to Tovavoyu, the way it was before. Why? Because of Yoyakim. And his unrighteousness. Right? Because of his poor spiritual standing. Destroy the world. But his generation was deserving. So that saves the day. But then once Hashem viewed his generation, who were deserving people, and Siashva Daita, he was appeased. And exactly the opposite happened with Tzidkiyahu. Hashem wanted to destroy the world and made Dursh Tzidkiyahu because of his generation, who were not righteous. But once he focused on the leader, so he was pleased and he was placated. So apparently, it's unrelated, it's unlinked. You can have a good leader with bad generation, or vice versa. So apparently, it's not really connected. Ella, rather, what we spoke about before was Le'inyan Tukfa v'Nichusa Karmim. We're talking about demeanor, personality. Rashi says Tukfa means kas. You have a stern leader. Nichusa noyach lirtzis, more of an easygoing, forgiving type. That's what we're talking about. What type of leadership does he exhibit? What type of demeanor does he express? What type of approach to leading? So, according to one shita, Hashem adapts the leader to the generation as per their need, as per their type of what they need, right? Whereas the other shita says the opposite. Hashem adapts the generation to the personality of the leader. The leader is a certain type. Generation will be tweaked accordingly in order to relate to that leader and to be led by him. Hadron Alchish Berach, says the Mishnah. Hesagiyad is a halacha that we find by Erechen, a fellow pledges. Right? That person's, you know, Erech, right? As per prescribed in the Torah, depending on gender and age, right? Different age brackets have different prices, right? It's all a set flat rate, which is unique to Erechen. What else is unique to Erechen? Hesagiyad, a person can't afford, he's on poor financial standing, so we give a discount. So these are elements that are unique to Erech, as opposed to Neder. Neder is a different type of pledge. Your pledge, the person's actual market value. How much would he fetch if he was sold as a slave in the market? And that's what you're giving to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Neder. So there it's actual market value. There's no flat rate, depending on, you know, gender or age. And also, there's no discounts. Whatever it is you owe, and pay it up eventually. So Hesagiyad, this concept of discounted payouts, depending on financial affordability. But neither. That's linked to the pledger. Meaning, a fellow who's an ani, a poor man, who pledges the value, the erech of a rich man. That's irrelevant. You're the one paying it. If you can't, right? If he can't afford, he gets a discount. Vashana benider, as opposed to the age factor, that depends on the person you're pledging about, right? It doesn't depend on you, it depends on him. How old he is, that's how much you're pledging. Ve'erchem b'nerech, and likewise the gender factor is on the person who you're pledging about. And finally, ve'erech b'zmana erech, in terms of determining financial standing and ability to pay, that is linked with the moment when you made the erech. Sorry, Rashi says here we're talking about the age factor again. So, regarding the age, it all depends on his age at the moment of the pledge. So let's say he pledged about a person who's, you know, between 20 and 60, which is the biggest, you know, highest rate. And then by the time he got around to paying it out, the fellow's above 60, so the rate should drop. No, because you pledged the higher rate. So bizmana erech depends on the time of erech. Explain the mission. What's that first item, the idea of the discounted rate, which relates to the pledger, not the pledgee? Hesagiyad b'nai, the keter, for example, ani, you have an ani, a poor man, she'erech as a asher, he committed to the rate of an asher. So he said, the erech of that person is upon me, and that person happens to be wealthy. That's irrelevant. No, he's an erech ani, he pays according to his ability. He's ani, he's the one paying, so he gets a discounted rate. And the same vice versa. V'asher she'erech as a ani, a wealthy man, pledged the erech of an ani, no, he's an erech asher, he pays full rate, as per his financial abilities. And as we're going to see there in the Gemara, according to this opinion, Tanakama, even if, let's say, an usher gets up and he pledges erech, in which case he has to give full rate, and an ani, let's say, overhears him, he says, you know, I want to actually sponsor that person's, you know, obligation. So now, since he is a poor man, he will get a discounted rate, irrespective of the fact that he's really sponsoring a rich man's full rate obligation, because the fact is he's paying it and he's poor. Okay, that's the chiddush in Tanakama, and Rebbe will disagree with that. We'll see in a minute. Okay, aval b'karbonis einuki. So this is regarding erechin, but when it comes to karbonis, it changes slightly. For example, harisha amar karbonis shel matzora ze'olai. So by a matzora, we have different levels of karbonis. A wealthy man brings an animal; if he's less wealthy, birds. And otherwise, a mincha. So again, it's a fluctuating commitment depending on his financial ability, right? So we have a fellow who's a matzora who's really obligated in karbonis. And his friend comes along and says, you know, I'm going to sponsor your karbonis. Harisha amar karbonis shel matzora ze'olai. Okay, I'm paying out your karbonis. So what level do you bring? It really depends on that person, what he's obligated to. You're sponsoring his karbonis. Whatever he's obligated, that's what you do. Hoya matzora ani, if that person's ani, which obligates him to a karbon of lesser value, then that's what you bring. Maybe karbon ani. Asher, if he's a wealthy man who has to do a full high-level karbon, maybe karbon asher, the sponsor, likewise, sponsors the same. Rabbi Omer, he disagrees on one account. He says, actually, when it comes to erechin, we also, it also changes when it's a sponsorship. Rabbi, my opinion is, after erechin came, the same exact concept applies to erechin. So again, let's say a fellow pledges an erechin, he's wealthy, and another fellow sponsors his pledge, full rate, the same like by karbonis. Yeah, but if it's a non-sponsor situation, Reuben the ani is pledging the erech. He himself is initiating his own pledge, the erech of Shimon the Asher. Why in that case is it a discount rate? Because he's not sponsoring his obligation. He's initiating his own obligation. He's poor. She'ena Asher chayev kum, the wealthy man. Shimon is not obligated. Has no obligation. I'm not sponsoring his. And since Reuben is poor, he pays poor. Aval Asher shama erkei olai. But if it's a case of sponsorship, so just like by carbon, if you're sponsoring, it's about his obligation. If he's wealthy, you got to pay wealthy. Otherwise, same here. Aval Asher shama erkei olai. Shimon got up and says, I'm pledging my erech, in which case he's going to be billed full rate. And then somebody comes along, even a poor man, and sponsors that obligation full rate as well. V'shamani, and Ani overhears this, Reuven, the Ani of Amar, he says, Ma shamazeh olai, I'm paying what he has to pay, so I'm sponsoring his obligation. Of course, in this case, it's a full rate. Nois nerech asher, on which the Chacham disagree. According to Tanakama, by Erechin, it's strictly based on the payer. Poor, poor, rich, rich. Now let's just dwell on the semantics. The beginning mission began with Hesegad Benoider. Neder is a totally different system than Erech. Neder is like market value, actual value. Erech is a set flat rate prescribed in the Torah. And Hesegad, the affordability, you know, sliding scale concept only applies to Erech. So why does the mission say Hesegad Benoider? Hesegad Bemarechu. It's limited to Marech, not to Neder. Well, it says the Gemara, actually, since in the Pasuk we find it sort of, you know, interchangeable. It's erech with neder, like in the same breath. So the Mishnah referred to the marech as a neder. But really, it's an erech system, not neder system that we're talking about. Hashon de minider. The second item in the Mishnah is the, you know, age bracket factor. It's contingent upon the neder. And again, the same question. We're talking about an erechin, which has age factors. Neder doesn't have age bracket. Neder is just plain market value. Hashana b'nidr b'nerchu. The answer is because we spoke neider, so now the flip side is neider. I did amar hesegad b'nidr, since in the previous halacha we refer to neider, as we explained, based on the pasuk amar nami hashana b'nidr. So Mishnah continued on and referred to a neider regarding the next halacha. Hesegad b'nidr ketzad. How does this play out? Ani sherech asa asher nes nerech ani. So Reuben, the poor man, was Marech and Asher. He pays poor because the fact is he's pledging and he gets a discount. My timer. Damak Asher Tasek at the Noider. Right? It's all about the pledger. Benoider to the Rachmana. This financial consideration is linked to the ability of the Noider, right? The one who's paying it out. Unrelated to the person you're pledging about. Aval Berkarbon is in a king. But in matters of Karbon, so again, when it comes to Erech, even if you're sponsoring a wealthy man's Erech, and Reuben, who's sponsoring, is poor, he pays poor. But by Karbonis, if you're sponsoring, and it's all about what he's obligated. Al karbanis einiki. So, for example, Arisha Amar, karbanis mitzeres elai. A fellow gets up and sponsors. He says, "I'm committing to the karbanis of this mitzvah." What level does it bring? Depends on the identity of the mitzvah. Hoye mitzvah ani, maybe karban ani. So, if Shimon the mitzvah is a poor mitzvah who's slated to bring, you know, birds or mincha, then Reuben the sponsor brings likewise. Even if Reuben is wealthy, v'afgad madira yashir, right? That's what it seems in the Mishnah. It's all about the fellow who's the mitzvah. So even if Reuben can afford more, he gets away with less. I mean, dalu amrachmanav loy dalu. Tara says the low level carbon is limited for a dal of our poor man. He's not poor. Reuben is giving the carbon is a wealthy man. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, you're right. Keshehayu madira yoni. We're speaking that both parties are poor. Shimon is poor, and Reuben, who's sponsoring Shimon, is also poor. So you need both parties to be ani, to qualify for a carbon ani. But if one of them is in fact an usher, whether it's the person you're sponsoring, so you're sponsoring a carbon usher, whether it's the sponsor himself as an usher, doesn't qualify for a discount, so he has to bring a carbon usher. So this halacha in the Mishnah, that when you sponsor a carbon mitzvah, you get a discounted rate, that is provided both parties are ani, the mitzvah and the sponsor. So as the more, even so, v'dilma, perhaps, even if the sponsor is an ani, it doesn't qualify for a discount. V'dilma, alei didei chas rachmona, perhaps had rachmona is compassion on the person himself, the mitzvah himself. So obligated to bring the carbon. If he's poor, okay, you get a bird. But a person who chooses to sponsor it, who says he gets a discount? Just because he's unable to pay. Amadir loy. The one that's madad, the one sponsoring, perhaps he's not entitled to a discount. Aksiv who? The pasuk said in dal who? Talking about the mitzvah himself. But this discounted system is limited to the mitzvah himself. So how do we know to apply to a sponsor? Amar Rab, Adar Rab, we have another pasuk. In the other masekas. The masekas, extra pasuk, to cover even the sponsor. The rab is to include even the sanoida, the sponsor as well. Okay, so again, if both sponsor and the one being sponsored are ani, discount. So as the Gemara, but aval madira yosha, but if the sponsor himself is able to pay more, chanami de maisa bashir, so he's going to bring a full-fledged carbon. So focusing on the sponsor, the one that's paying it out, imkein mai aval b'karbonis ene kein. So what is the Mishnah contrast? Mishnah seems to be drawing a line here, in contrast to the Erech system, where it's all about the one paying it out, as opposed to Karbonis, where it's different. Well, you tell me the same similar system applies to Karbonis. You're focusing on the payer. Right? So if the payer can afford, he has to pay it out in full. You're right. It's one-on-one. In one situation, we focus on the one being sponsored. And that's the case where both parties are poor. Reuben, who's sponsoring Shimon's karbanis, is poor, and Shimon, the mater himself, is poor. Chada. So in fact, one idea applies to a mater ani, madir ani. One halacha will apply when they're both ani, the mater and the madir. In fact, in that case, he gets a discount. So the Mishnah says, right, that the mitzvah is an ani. The sponsor only brings a carbon ani. That's provided both are ani. So chada, so one halacha, that halacha, the discounted carbon is only a mitzvah ani, a madir ani. Both individuals are ani. But v'chada, but the other case. The other case that Mishnah referred to, that if he's an usher, the carbon is upgraded. V'chad l'muti mitzera usher madira ani. So l'muti means, in this case, it will be different. Very different than the erchen. Which case is that? Which case is different than erchen? Mitzera usher madira ani. that although the mother sponsors an ani, but since the metzora who you're sponsoring can't afford, and he personally is obligated to a higher level carbon, you have to follow through, you have to pay it out, because you're sponsoring, ultimately sponsoring his carbon. And in this case, it's different than erech, where it's strictly based on the payer. And the Mishnah is pointing out that, you know, perhaps you think otherwise. Perhaps there's room to think. And just like in the previous case, when they're both ani, you bring low-level carbon, perhaps in this case as well. Since the Torah included, where did the Torah include in that pasuk, Yadam HaSeges, to apply the discounted rate to that case when they're both ani, is Rabba perhaps will apply to this case as well? Kamash Malon. Comes the Mishnah and says no. No, in this case, where you're sponsoring an usher's carbon, you have to pay it out in full. In fact, we have a brisa as well, which highlights this point. Since we find differently by Erechim, we find that it's all about the pair. The pair only. Ani is Erech's usher, it's an Erech Ani. Reuven, who is the Ani, who's pledging the Erech of an usher, what does he pay? Erech Ani. What he can afford? Yochalav Sakein, perhaps in this case as well. Where Reuven, the sponsor, is poor, should get a discounted rate. Tamalema imdal who? Who? It's limited to the mitzvah himself. If he's an ani, yeah. But if the sponsor is an ani, doesn't get a discount. Unless, as we said, in one case, where both parties are ani. So that's one case. We bring a carbon ani. But otherwise, if one of these two people, either the sponsor or the mitzvah is an usher, full rate. So if he can afford, for sure, and even if he can't afford it, since he's sponsoring the carbon usher, full rate. Okay, let's stop for a second. So this is the Shita de Rabbanan. And in terms of Mitzvah, full rate. If any one of these two are usher, Reuben, the sponsor, is an usher, or Shimon, the one being sponsor, is an usher, full rate card. Because if he's an usher, of course he pays it out. If the fellow he's sponsoring is an usher, well, you're sponsoring the covered usher. Only time he gets a discount, only time a sponsor gets a discount is if both people are on you. Reuben and Shem, and that's included in the pasuk in Yadam HaSeges. And Rabbi agrees to this as well. All the machlokes we have is by Erechim. The Chacham take a pretty straightforward, simple approach. They say, look, it's all about the pair, and that's it. So even in a case where you're sponsoring, it doesn't matter. It's all about who you are, the one actually paying the bill. Ani, ani. Usher, usher. To which Rebbe takes issue. He says, similar to what we have by Metzora, if you're sponsoring the carbon of an usher, you have to pay full rate. Likewise over here, even if the actual person paying it out, Reuben, is an ani, but if he's sponsoring the erech of an usher, so again, what happens is the usher pledges a certain erech, which requires him to pay in full, and Reuben comes along and sponsors it, full rate. Continues the Gemara. The Rabbi de Amar. So according to Rabbi, who says, "Oymarani, my opinion is up by erech and king." Likewise, by erech, if he's sponsoring a wealthy man's erech, full rate. Despite the fact that the sponsor is a poor man, Alma, apparently, Omar, he says, Basach Yuv de Gavra Zlinan. Apparently, Rabbi holds that we focus on the one being sponsored. Chiyuv de Gavra, the Chiyuv, the man being sponsored. So if he's wealthy and he's paying full, the one sponsoring him has to pay in full as well. Basach Yuv de Gavra Zlinan. Vahalit Chikrolim Ute. So now back to the story of Mitzvah. If it's so simple, so basic that if you're sponsoring a wealthy man's obligation, you have to pay in full. So the same would apply to era, to Mitzera. If the Mitzera is an usher, which requires him to bring a high level carbon, even if the sponsor is an ani, logic would dictate that's no different than erech, pay in full. So we don't need a pasuk to exclude it and to set him apart and to rescind that discount. So what's the pasuk coming to tell you? Who? The word who? Lumutimai? What's it coming to exclude? Lumutimitzer ani madira asher. Oh, it's addressing a different point. Let's say the mitzvah himself was an ani. So Shimon was a poor man, obligated to bring a low-level carbon. Umadira Oshem, Shimon, Reuben, the sponsor, is a wealthy man. So perhaps over here the tables turn. If it's all about the person being sponsored, so in this case, the person being sponsored is poor. So maybe the rich sponsor can get away with a cheap carbon. Perhaps I would think, since Rabbi tells us, we focus on the person being sponsored, so perhaps in this case, it works to his benefit. You're sponsoring a poor man, pay poor. Comes the pasuk and says, who? Yeah, if the material is poor, fine. But that discount does not carry over to the sponsor, he has to pay in full. Okay, so let's just recap the Gemara until this point. So, by Mitzera, let's start from Mitzera. You have an ani sponsoring an ani, in this case, discounted rate, but otherwise, full rate. An ani sponsoring an usher, or an usher sponsoring an ani, all agree this case. In these cases, the full rate karm. By Erchon, however, we have machlokes. If it's a sponsor situation, an ani sponsoring an ani, all agree, okay, discounted rate. Now, if it's an usher sponsoring an ani, all agree, it's a full rate. But if it's an ani sponsoring an usher, here we have machlekes. Rabbanan say it's all about the one paying it, who's an ani. Rabbi says, he's sponsoring an usher. Full rate applies as well. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say his fortunes changed. Haya ani v'hasher. So when he made the erech pledge, he was couldn't afford. V'hasher, then he struck it rich, now he could afford. So before he actually paid it out, now he can afford. Or the opposite, hasher v'ani. He had it, now he lost it. So what determines? The moment of pledge or the moment of pay? In both these cases, he gives full rate, because if he was usher at any point in time, full rate applies. Rabbi Do Aymar, go a step further. Let's say he was poor when he made the erech, and then his fortunes rose, v'chazveni, now he's back to poverty. Since he experienced Ashir is somewhere in the middle, at least Nerech Asher has to pay full rate. We'll see that in the Gemara. Ava Karbon is in the Gemara. That this is limited to Erech payouts, but Karbon is obligations, like by Metzora, right? Doesn't work like this. Because over there, is level of obligation depends on where he's holding when he brings the karbonis, not when he was a mitzvah. We look at it now. And the Mishnah concludes, in terms of assessing his financial standing, it's about the money that he has in his possession, not money that's going to be coming in the future. Even if his father already passed away, left over a huge inheritance. Ribui is 10,000, or 10,000, 10 million. But he has this ship at sea, right? Bringing in all kinds of goods, which is going to produce a huge amount of tens of thousands of profits. Hegdash can't access that. He doesn't have it yet. We'll see that in the Gemara. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Ani v'asher, he pledged when he was an ani, then he struck it rich. Came time to pay, he can afford. He's got to pay full rate. Why? Ashatas v'gad ha'noider. It's all about the yad, whatever he can pay, right? So if at the point of payout he can pay, he's got to pay. Likewise, Asher Behani, he was wealthy initially and now he's not. So full rate applies as well. Asher Tasek Yad HaNoider. So we focus on the word Noider, on his financial status at the time of the Neder. And since at that time he was able, so that's how he gets built. Rabbi Do Aymar takes it a step further. If you only Asher Behani, he was poor, he got wealthy and back. and back down. Noisen erech asher, full rate applies. My time to read the why. I'm a call the pasuk v'machu merkecha. He consistently was mach, was poor. Ad yeh makusa, unless he's in a state of poverty mitchilas v'atzei from beginning to end. But if anyway along the process his fortunes rose, full rate applies. Says the Malmi Atav, that's the case of Imdalhu. Let's shift to Metzora, where it also says who. Imdalhu, if you can't afford, he brings, you know, the bird, he brings the mincha. Chanami, there too, you're going to say, Achet Mitdalusoi, that the discounted rate applies unless, only and unless he was in fact in that state of poverty all throughout, no fluctuation whatsoever. Mitchilas about Saif, beginning to end. So if at any point in time you experience riches, he gets full rate carbon. Perhaps you're right. Is that so? But now we have a Mishnah which teaches us otherwise. So we have a fellow that whose fortunes changed midway. And it's not automatic that he has to bring a full rate karma. Now we have a Mishnah. Mitzvah Shehevi Karbonaisev. So Mitzvah brought the karbonis. Ani, he brought, you know, the minimum karbonis, birds, whatever, right? Vehesha, and then he struck it rich. Okay, so now he could afford more. Or the opposite, Asher Vehani. He brought the high level, you know, the animal karbonis, Vehani, and now he's poor. What happens? It all depends on his financial standing when he brought the chatas. So if at that point he was an ani, done. So that determines his status. At that point he was an usher, that determines his status, even if his fortunes changed. No, we follow the usher. That's the pivotal point. It depends where he was when he brought the usher. He goes, another shita, all depends on the birds. So what was his financial standing when he brought the birds? So what do we see? That, you know, even if he was asher when he brought his karbanis, or some of them, and now he's an ani, so even if he brought karbanis ani, and then he turned to asher, so you would think, okay, now he owes a carbon usher. He's not done his carbonis yet. He's already an usher when he's, you know, up to the next carbonis. So according to Abuda, if his fortunes change midway, we upgrade him. And here it says not so. It says that if he was an ani at a, you know, a certain point in the process, even if he struck it rich, he stick to that old discounted rate. Says the Gemara here, it's very different. It's based on a pasuk, and you can't compare it to Erechim. We have learned explanation on this. All three opinions, whether it's the chatas that determines the asham of the birds, it's all based on the same pasuk. The question how to learn the pasuk. Asher loy tasek yadu. To want the netzer, can't afford it, but tarasa during this purification process. So it's a tahara that determines, meaning it's that moment that will determine whether we charge in full rate or not. Now, what is tahara? Which part of the process? He brings three karbanis. So Shimon Savar, he says, davar mekhaper. We assume it's going on the chatas, which is the main atonement. Umayinu chatas the chatas. So that determines the status. Rabbi Savar, davar machshir. No, it's the machshir, the karban that enables him to come back to the Beis Hamikdash. The karbanis, umayinu es the asham. So whatever his financial standing was at the bringing of the asham, that's what determines the whole package. It's the birds that activate the whole tahara process, allow him to shave his hair. Maniu, what is the tahara? It's part of the birds. So it's a very specific machlekes, particular to Mitzvah. As opposed to Erechin, where Rabbi Yehuda follows the pasuk, asher nimahu, that he has to be consistently in a state of anius, otherwise full-fledged rate applies. Okay, velahu lamali. If so, that when it comes to Metzora, we work a different system. We don't use the word who to tell you consistency, right? So what's who coming to tell us? Oh, we already discussed that earlier with Rebbe's approach, Rabbanan's approach, right, in the previous Gemara. regarding, you know, determining the rates of the sponsor, right? The Rebbe Kadis, the Rebbe according to his approach, the Rabbana Kadis Lahu according to their approach. Okay, Olmiata, if that's the case. That the word Vahu denotes constancy and consistency. Olmiata, Vahu eight. What about the pasuk by the witness? Vahu, he is an eight. Are you going to say there as well that a fellow could only testify in the Bezdin if he was consistently suitable for Eidus? From the moment that he witnessed the scene until he walks into the Bezdin, but if there's some sort of change of status in between, that's it, he's off? V'u'eid ashehi kasher, unless he's okay and suitable as an aid, mid chilos v'atzef, from the beginning till the end of the process, unchanged? V'chitem achinami, if that's the case. If you're going to say so, v'atani, we have a Mishnah otherwise. Hoya yedei alabeidus, achel enasa chostan. Raisa says like this. Shimon was Reuven's son-in-law, but he wasn't yet his son-in-law when he witnessed the scene. V'nasa chosen, today's his son-in-law, mazal tov. U'pikeach. He was in full faculty, right? V'nischarish, then he became deaf-mute. U'pesuach, he couldn't see. When he was there at the story, even his stomach, then he became blind. Shafa, he was mentally healthy, even his stata, then he became deranged. How is it possible? You can't testify in that state. If he's deranged, if he's blind, right? But let's say, at point A, when he witnessed the scene, he was okay. And at point C, when he's approaching the Bezdin to testify, he's okay. But in the middle, there was point B. And he wasn't temporarily was not suitable. Let's say he experienced something, he has some information they can use to testify on behalf of his father-in-law, but at that point he wasn't yet a son-in-law, he was a total stranger. In the middle it became a son-in-law, which disqualifies him. We turn to the next element. Then the daughter passed away, so now he's a stranger again. And the same with the other examples. He was in, he was out, and he was in. Pekeach, v'nescharish, v'chazim v'nespakach, pesuach, he conceived, v'nestam, he became blind, v'chazim v'nespatach, then he's healthy again, v'shafen, v'nishtatach, v'nishtafach. Kosh, in all these cases, okay. Because it's all about point A and point C. Those are the critical junctures. Zaklal, because this is the rule. Kosh, v'chilosai, v'sefe, v'kash, v'skosher. He was okay in the beginning and the end, it's okay, even though in the middle, he veered off a bit. And that's despite the word v'hu, which, according to us, denotes consistency. So why are they okay? Shani Hossam says, then what, there it's different. Amakar, the Pasuk says, Oy ra'a im la'yagad. Pasuk stresses, it's all about when he saw. And the moment of yagad, of relating it to the Bezdin. But what happened in the middle doesn't really concern us. Beri'iyo v'hagad atalamu, rachanam mosa, Torah hinged it upon the moment of seeing. What was he then? Was he a stranger? You're good. V'hagadah, when you walk into Bezdin, what are you now? Stranger, you're good. Well, you can, you have it. So what's the pasuk v'hu coming to teach us? V'hu eid, what's it coming for? A totally different halacha. V'hu l'amali, look at the sign regarding a different halacha. Shvuah sa'edis, right? You swear a person, you impose a shvuah. Come help me in the Bezdin. I know you have information that could benefit me. And the fellow denies any involvement, and you impose a shvuah, right? Promise me, you don't know anything, and he swears, and he swears falsely, and has to come back and atone for it. So that halacha only applies when he was singled out and identified. When you approach the person that you believe has information to testify on your behalf, and he turned you down with, you know, a false oath. Look at the sanis we learned in the brisa. Let's say he sees a group of people. He walks in the shul, 100 people. Eidah b'nei, he knows that is Eidah amongst them, but he fails to single them out. V'amar, he says, look, here ye. V'amar mashbiyani aleichem, and swearing all of you, im yoidim atem leidus, if any of you, you know, if you have aidus for me, come testify on my behalf. Perhaps they're liable to the whole system of shvuos aidus if they turn them down. I'm learning of who aid. Who aid? You have to identify, you have to single out the aid. You can't just approach, you know, a group and impose on them a collective, you know, shvua. But let's say he doesn't just speak in general. Perhaps I feel Omar call me. Let's say he tweaks it a bit. He says, anybody amongst you. So in the first case, he just addressed them as a public, says, all of you, right? If you can help me, right? But here he says, call me, anyone amongst you. So he's singling out the eight amongst them. What happens there? Perhaps they're exempt. Who eight? In No, in this case, they're obligated. Who ate? Because if Arei Yichad ate, if he singled out the ate, even though he didn't identify by name. But he imposed the Shvuah only on the Edom, not on the group in general, on the specific people who are his Edom. And that's what we learn from Behu. Behu ate. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We spoke about Hashem's kindness and chesed to all, even to the others. We spoke about Hashem pairing up the leader with the generation to make for an effective twosome. We spoke about the discounted rate that applies to Erech, and that it applies to the person paying it out. We spoke about the age factor that relates to the person that you're making the Erech about. We spoke about the gender factor as well, depending on the person you're pledging about. And the fact that the flat rate that relates to the age bracket, that relates to the moment of the Erech, not the moment of the payout of the Erech. Now, in contrast to Metzora, where a sponsor, if he's an Ani and a Metzora is an Ani, he gets a discounted rate. When it comes to Erech, according to the Chachamim, it's all about the person paying it out. Poor, poor, rich, rich, but according to Rav Meir, there is a similar, one similarity between the two, so that by Erech as well, if the sponsor is sponsoring the Erech that an usher had obligated himself to pay, so the sponsor will pay a full rate despite the fact that he's an Ani. Let's say there was some sort of fluctuation, some change in his fortunes, Ani Vehesher, or vice versa, a full rate applies, which is learned from these psukim, and Rav Yehuda says, even if there was a fluctuation, somewhere in the middle, he was an Ani, up and then back down, Erech Asher applies. Contrast to Karbanes, where it's all based on the moment of the bringing of the Karbanes, now which carbon, we have three sheetahs on that, the Chatas, the Asher, and the birds. This idea of constancy does not apply to Edus. There it's just about, it just depends on what he is at the moment of Re'iyah and the moment of Haggadah. We conclude with an interesting halacha regarding the personalization pertaining to Shvuas Edus. Okay, all the best to you and Psuros Teves.